Tuesday, March 8, 2018. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly. And I'm coming to you from right here in Denver, Colorado. That's right. We are right here in the Mile High City. You know, we get together every single weekday. We talk sports with a dose of common sense. We just might have some sarcasm mixed in here or there. We are very, very happy to have you here with us today. Happy Tuesday to you. We have now put Monday behind us. We are moving forward in the week. Always good to get past that initial hurdle in the week. Hey, if you'd like to contact us, let us know how your Monday went. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe you've got a question. Maybe you've got a comment. Maybe you have a great idea for a segment on the show. We would love to hear from you. Feel free to reach out. Today on the show, got a number of things to touch on. Want to talk a little bit about some breaking news coming out. A couple of big games last night I want to discuss. And, you know, the NFL draft is now complete. I want to take a look at a couple of teams and maybe a key position that they didn't seem to grab when we thought that they might. Plus, not sure if you realize this, but today is a very, very special national day of the year. And I want to make sure that we discuss that a little bit today. Got a lot to get to here at the Daily Dose. You know, I'm actually going to start off in the NHL. Yes, I'm going to talk a little bit of hockey. The Washington Capitals actually eliminated the defending Stanley Cup champion Pittsburgh Penguins last night, beating the Pens in Game 6 on the road in overtime. In fact, here is a clip of the game winner from NBC.
Knocked away. Heads up ice. Kuznetsov! Kuznetsov scores! Evgeny Kuznetsov in overtime. The march of the Penguins is over.
Hey, who saw this coming? I certainly didn't, and I don't think even the most ardent Washington fans did either. You know, they have just been waiting for that other shoe to fall all postseason. But hey, they get it done. For the first time in 20 years, they are going to the Eastern Conference Final, and they will be taking on a very, very hot Tampa Bay team in those Eastern Conference Finals. Maybe, just maybe, this is going to signify a change for Washington teams. I mean, maybe we're going to see like the Washington Wizards next year all of a sudden just come out and start dominating. Maybe we're going to see the Washington Nationals pick it up and actually win something in the postseason. Maybe we're going to see the Redskins turn things around under Alex Smith. Or maybe the Capitals are just going to collapse as usual in this next round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Yeah, I would probably lean a little bit more that way. But hey, congrats to Washington. They've gotten by these first two tough rounds. Did something that I didn't think they would do. Congrats to the Capitals. Okay, let's talk a little bit of NBA though. Because the Philadelphia 76ers did finally win a game last night in their series with the Boston Celtics and postponed their elimination from the playoffs, at least for a little while. They beat the Celtics in Game 4. Now, that series is going to shift back to Boston for Game 5. It doesn't seem like much, right? It doesn't seem like a big deal. Boston was up 3-0. Philly gets one win at home. They're still in serious trouble. But you do wonder if that game last night could end up being a problem for Boston, because in the second game last night, the Cleveland Cavaliers finished off the Toronto Raptors easily, blowing out the top seed in the East to complete that sweep of the Raptors, who always seem to underachieve in the postseason, which of course means that now Cleveland is sitting back and waiting for Boston, right? They're going to see, can Boston win Game 5? Will it go on to a Game 6? Could it somehow go to a Game 7? Here is the thing that I never understand. And maybe this just goes to show you I'm not full-blown sports media. Because I guess we just have to see what happens in Game 1 when Boston ends up playing Cleveland. I just wish someone would call their shot before it happens, because here's what I'm foreseeing, okay? Are you ready for this? Let me lay this out for you. If Boston does go ahead and finish off the Sixers and go on to face Cleveland, here is where I get confused. And here's where the sports media tells us different things. Does playing more games keep Boston sharp, or is Cleveland benefiting from the rest that they are now going to be getting? And here's the thing. It all depends. It depends on how game one goes. Because see, if Boston wins game one of the NBA Eastern Conference Finals against Cleveland, then what we're going to be told is that playing that fifth game, or whatever it ends up being, kept the Celtics sharp while Cleveland sat out, had a few days off, and got rusty. But if Cleveland wins game one, then the sports media world is going to tell us, well, they were well rested while Boston is just more tired. You could tell they just didn't have the legs. You know, I'll tell you what, playing that extra game, you could tell it just really took it out of the Celtics' legs. They just didn't have it tonight. It's stupid and it's a tad contrived, but I'm telling you right now, it is coming. You watch and see. Hey, everyone at this stage of the season is tired. Everyone is beat up. Everyone is worn out. Everyone would like a day off. Does a day off make a huge difference? No, not that much. It's nice, but is it a huge thing? No, it's all going to be as usual. It's going to be about who can step up and who can execute in that game one. It's going to have a lot less to do with rest and staying sharp and rustiness and all of those silly cliches that we're going to be told are going to take place in game one. They're coming. I'm telling you right now, they're coming. Again, I would just like someone to call that shot before it happens and be right. Like, say it before, because we just saw this at the beginning of this series with Cleveland. Remember, Cleveland was tired. LeBron was tired. And then they came out and they smacked the Raptors around. So it's not always exactly accurate. I think it's just something that the media likes to say. Some other news coming out in the NBA. The Detroit Pistons have now parted ways with president of basketball operations and head coach Stan Van Gundy after the team failed to make the playoffs again. We've decided that the change is necessary to take our basketball organization to the next level, Pistons owner Tom Gores said in a statement on Monday. This was a very difficult decision. We did not come to it lightly. And hey, that's totally true. They didn't come to it lightly. In fact, it was just a week ago that Tom Gores said they would be keeping Stan Van Gundy. Now, I would assume that the Pistons asked Van Gundy to just coach. We're going to take away that title. We're going to take away the whole president of basketball operations thing because, yeah, you're not doing a great job with that. So we'd like to remove that from you. And Van Gundy said, hey, forget it then. I'm out. Go ahead and pay me that big giant salary and I'll go lay on the beach and sip Mai Tais. That would be my guess. But I mean, these things happen. Sometimes there's a differing opinion. Sometimes teams have to decide to go in a different way. And now Ron Jeremy can get back to making those disgusting movies that he likes so much. Oh, come on. You know Stan Van Gundy looks a lot like Ron Jeremy. That's all I'm saying. Now he can get back to his true love, making those disgusting movies. Enough with the Pistons and trying to put together that huge mess up there. They have got a lot of problems, and I don't think he can solve all of them. Hey, coming back, the NFL draft is, of course, now finished. Teams are telling us that they all got exactly who they wanted in the draft.
You know, we're looking at the board, and we had this guy penciled in from the very beginning. He was exactly who we wanted.
Now, there's no way everyone got exactly who they wanted. Somebody's lying, right? Like, just once. I'd like to hear a team come out and say, yeah, we're going to be honest. We had about three guys on the list. They were all gone, so we had to take this idiot. I don't even know if he can play. We didn't scout him. We didn't look at him. We didn't even barely know who he is, but we took him. I don't know. Hope he works out. Everyone in the NFL, it's exactly who we wanted. But I think there just might be a few teams that did not get one specific position, and they may have needed to. So we saw 13 quarterbacks taken in the 2018 NFL draft. And we saw many of those quarterbacks taken way, way too early. Especially, you know, that one that was taken with the very first pick of the entire draft. Yeah, that might have been a little too early. But it's kind of funny because we did not see a few teams take a quarterback that might have actually needed to get one. Here's a few teams that I was looking at and just going, why didn't they take a quarterback? Like, it seemed like the table was kind of set for them to take one. They didn't take one. Let's look at a couple teams that, for whatever reason, decided not to take a quarterback. We'll see if it's going to come back to haunt them. First team up. You know, currently, the Miami Dolphins have a huge question at quarterback. Ryan Tannehill, he's coming off of that knee injury that ended his season last year. Jay Cutler is now gone. And the Dolphins basically are pinning all of their hopes that Ryan Tannehill can return to his form before his injury. And when I say return to his form, I mean return to his just barely above average form that he had before he got hurt. And he had better return to form, because do you know right now who the Miami Dolphins backup quarterback is? Yeah, Brock Osweiler is backing up Ryan Tannehill. Why do you just know? I just know it. Brock Osweiler is going to end up getting some playing time at some point this season. Just guaranteed. I don't know why it is. He just is that guy. He's going to end up on the field at some point for the Dolphins this year. But for whatever reason, the Dolphins did not take a quarterback in the draft. So they are apparently thinking Ryan Tannehill is going to be okay, or we do have Brock Osweiler in our back pocket if we need him. Yeah, you better hope Ryan Tannehill is okay, because I've got bad news for you if he's not. It's not going to go well for the Miami Dolphins. A little bit odd that they didn't take a quarterback, though. Next team up. My hometown Denver Broncos went out and signed quarterback Case Keenum to a 2-year contract worth $36 million. But same kind of situation. I'm not sure what they're thinking as far as that backup quarterback position, because they seem to think that Paxton Lynch is still going to be the quarterback of the future. I'm not sure why. Maybe they see something in his career 61% completion rate. Or maybe they are really, really intrigued by his most recent quarterback rating of 29. And John Elway is looking at Paxton Lynch going, yeah, I think he's all set. He's going to be good here in a couple of years. Or let me just throw out one other scenario. Maybe John Elway took Paxton Lynch way too early, and he's just trying to save face no matter what the price is. I'm going to go ahead and go with that. Hopefully the Broncos won't ever need to go to Paxton Lynch. But with their offensive line, yeah, I wouldn't bet on that. And if they do have to go to Paxton Lynch, would you really feel any worse about a rookie that you might have drafted this year than you would about Lynch? I wouldn't. They're both going to suck. You're going to struggle either way. Little bit surprising that the Broncos didn't take a late round quarterback. I thought they might. Another team I thought would draft a quarterback, the Los Angeles Chargers. I thought the Chargers might draft a quarterback because Philip Rivers is now 36 years old. And you say, well, that doesn't sound so old. Let's think about a couple guys he came into the league with. You know, Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, both of their teams are already looking for the next guys. I thought the Chargers had a decent draft. They got Florida State safety Derwin James with their first round pick, which may help that pass defense, but they still haven't addressed finding a young backup for Philip Rivers. Currently, who is the Chargers backup? Yeah, it's Geno Smith. Or maybe Cardale Jones. Remember the Ohio State kid? Cardale Jones is on the roster. Do you have any faith in him? I'm not sure if they think either one of those guys is a solution, but they apparently didn't think they needed to draft a quarterback this year. We'll see if they end up having to go to one of those guys and actually playing one of them in the games. I'll say this about Philip Rivers. He stays on the field. Sometimes he doesn't always look pretty. Sometimes he's throwing more footballs to the other team than his own. He stays on the field. He doesn't come out very often, but what if he had to come off the field? Are you trusting Geno Smith to try to get you into the playoffs? Probably not. Thought they might start grooming someone this year. Doesn't look like they were that interested in grooming anyone. They're going to go with Philip Rivers. A little bit surprising to me. Our final team on the list that I thought they might take a quarterback in the draft, but they didn't, is the Chicago Bears, who I know, they are totally sold on second-year quarterback Mitch Trubisky. That's understandable. They just got him last year. He's a big, strong kid. He has maybe some instincts. He's definitely got a lot of tools to work with. Looks like he could have some skills. Maybe. Possibly. We'll see if he can develop this year, because now Chicago went and got him some weapons. We're going to find out a whole lot about Mitch Trubisky this year. I'll promise you that. We're going to know him a lot by the end of this year. But I thought Chicago might go get someone. Because do you know who the Chicago Bears backup quarterback currently is right now? It's Chase Daniel. Are you having much faith in Chase Daniel? Yes, he's a veteran. We'll give you that. I thought they might have someone kind of waiting in the wings, maybe just sitting back there saying, hey, kind of watch, kind of learn. Anything goes wrong with Trubisky, and who knows? We'll see how you develop. They don't go get a quarterback. Again, I'm not saying that all these teams we just talked about should have gone out and drafted a quarterback with a top pick. Definitely not saying with a top pick, but I thought that they might try to find a late round guy that maybe, possibly, could develop into a solid backup quarterback at least. I'm sure none of the teams we just talked about are going to need to go to their backup quarterbacks, right? Every single one of the teams we just talked about, they're all going to keep their starter on the field the entire season. Yeah, we're seeing that happen less and less these days, aren't we? I mean, just look at Philadelphia last year. Starting quarterback goes down. Backup has to come in. It is a major luxury to have a decent backup waiting in the wings. A little bit surprising that some of these teams maybe didn't go out and get one, but I'm sure they all know what they're doing. We never see professional sports franchises make huge roster mistakes, do we? No. That's just something we talk about in sports talk. That never really happens. Hey, coming back today, May 8th is National Teacher Day. Yes, National Teacher Day. Give a hand to those teachers that are out there. You know, I know there are some teachers out there and they just want to collect that paycheck. They just want to have their summers off. I also know some very, very good teachers out there that are doing things the right way, taking care of business. They care about their kids. They do things the right way. When we come back, we're going to discuss a few of the best teachers that we've ever seen. Just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping to do, maybe you want to go do some shopping for one of your favorite teachers or one of your kids' favorite teachers. Or maybe you need to go get something for Mother's Day because you still haven't remembered to do that. You might as well head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. May's Loot Crate theme, it's called Role Models. It features items from Arrested Development, Archer, Deadpool, and The Punisher. Those are pretty good role models, aren't they? But if you're not interested in those franchises, don't worry about that. Go over to Loot Crate. Trust me, they have just about any franchise you can think of, and they have a ton of items. Maybe you want to get something for your favorite teacher's desk, or their house, or their kitchen, or their car. Trust me, Loot Crate has whatever you are going to need right over there. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, make sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order. Just a little gift from us to you. Make sure you stop by lootcrate.com. So in 2018, National Teacher Day takes place today, May 8th. Now, this day is actually part of Teacher Appreciation Week, which is this first full week of May in each year. The National Education Association describes National Teacher Day as a day for honoring teachers and recognizing the lasting contributions that they make to our lives. Hey, we do have some good teachers out there. I know some great teachers personally. But you know, some of the great teachers are actually in athletics. We don't always think about that. Like the closest thing a lot of times we think of teachers to athletics is like, well, I had this gym teacher. He wore those hideous tight shorts up way too high just under his nipples. I'm not talking about those guys. Here's what I'm talking about. What is coaching but teaching? It really is. You know, it's funny. When you think of coaching, a lot of people actually make this huge mistake. And I was told this very, very early on in my coaching career. You think of coaching as being 80% motivation and 20% teaching. I was fortunate enough to have a coach take me aside and say, hey, you've got this wrong. See, here's the thing. It's not all about you being this great motivator. We see this a lot of times in Little League, or we see it in middle school or high school athletes. Kids are getting frustrated. They don't know what to do. They're struggling. Maybe they're facing a different kind of defense, or maybe their offense isn't working, or maybe their individual one-on-one moves aren't working. And what do we hear coaches a lot of times say? Play harder. You got to play harder. You're not playing hard enough. Yeah, see, sometimes coaching isn't all about the motivation. And I had a coach teach me that. He said, most people think coaching is 80% motivation, 20% teaching. That's not right. Flip that. It shouldn't be that way. Hey, if I have to motivate you over and over and over again, you probably need to go do something else. The good players don't need the motivation. They're self-motivated. Now, every once in a while, I might have to motivate you in certain ways. I might have to push certain buttons. I might have to get you to play harder or to raise your game. But my job as a coach should be just the opposite. It should be about 80% teaching and about 20% motivation. My job as a head coach is to teach you how to play the game, to teach you to become a better player, to care about you as a person, to teach you how to learn to play as a team if you're in a team sport. See, that's teaching. So today, on the Daily Dose, for National Teacher Day, we are going to discuss some of the better teachers that we have seen in sports. And trust me on this, we have seen some really, really good teachers. Hey, if they wanted to just go be teachers, they would have been great teachers. Let's talk about some of the good teachers we've seen. I'm going to start off in the world of hockey. I'm not a huge hockey guy, but I can spot good teaching when I see it. And a guy like Scotty Bowman, who coached in the NHL for 35 years, won 9 Stanley Cups. You think about some of the teams that he had, some of those teams he had up in Detroit. They played hard, they executed, and they found ways to win tight, tough games. Scotty Bowman, pretty good teacher. You know, Herb Brooks, he coached what is considered one of the biggest upsets in all of sports history when he led Team USA to the gold medal in 1980 over an extremely powerful Soviet Union team. That was boys against men. But Herb Brooks had his teams so well disciplined. They were in such good condition and they were ready to play at a level that when they first started, there's no way they could have played at that high of a level. They were ready for a full game and it paid off. Herb Brooks coaches Team USA to one of the biggest upsets ever. Why? Because he was a good teacher. You move on to soccer. Now, I'm not sure I could name many soccer coaches, but you look at someone like Sir Alex Ferguson, who coached Manchester United for 17 years after he had already done some coaching in Scotland. Now, he was not without a few controversies. Ferguson kind of rubbed some people the wrong way, I'll admit that, but he won 13 championships with Manchester United. He must have been teaching something. You move over to baseball, and I do think baseball is a little bit different, but you can still see some definite teaching in baseball. Take a guy like Joe Torre. Joe Torre won 4 World Series titles with the New York Yankees, and I understand the Yankees spend money like crazy. But not everyone who coaches the Yankees wins 4 titles. Joe Torre did something right. How could we have a list of great teachers, of great coaches, of great baseball managers without Casey Stengel on it? Another great for the Yankees. He won 9 World Series titles. He won 5 in a row. Casey Stengel is a pretty good teacher. Or what about someone like Earl Weaver, who never had a losing season in his entire career until his very, very final season, when we could tell maybe his heart wasn't in it. Earl Weaver won nearly 60% of his games. He won 4 pennants. He won a World Series. And the thing about him is you remember Earl Weaver teams because they were some of the best defensive teams in history. He had a philosophy and he stuck to it. He was a great teacher. Switching over to football, we got to talk about the man that the Super Bowl trophy is named after. Because Vince Lombardi won 73% of his games. Vince Lombardi won 6 NFL championships. I have a feeling Vince Lombardi could have been a good teacher in pretty much any era he was ever in. You know, Bill Belichick has a little bit of a history of kind of some shady things about him, but I do think this. I think Bill Belichick is an excellent teacher. Look at the way his New England Patriots adjust throughout the season. We'll see guys go down with injuries. We'll see them have to change their roster. We'll look at them and go, man, Patriots are really struggling. And then suddenly he makes a few tweaks, he makes a few adjustments, and all of a sudden we're going, hey, the Patriots, like, they're right there. He focuses on his strengths. He hides his team's weaknesses. That's a pretty good teacher. That's a pretty good coach. Bill Belichick has to be on our list. You look back into the 70s and you look at someone like Chuck Knoll, who might have assembled the greatest NFL teams ever with those 70s Pittsburgh Steelers squads. 4 Super Bowls? Never lost a Super Bowl? Chuck Knoll belongs on this list for sure. What about Joe Gibbs? You know, we don't always think of Joe Gibbs, but the fact that he won 3 different Super Bowls with 3 different quarterbacks says Joe Gibbs was teaching something and he was doing a good job at it. And think of those quarterbacks. Joe Theismann, Doug Williams, Mark Rippon. None of those guys is going to be labeled as a great quarterback, but they were great under Joe Gibbs. Another guy that put together what I think is in contention for some of the greatest teams ever, Bill Walsh, changed the NFL. His offensive schemes, the way he would attack certain defenses, we were starting to see, of course, those Bears 46 defenses, we're just going to bring more people than you can block. And Bill Walsh said, okay, but we're going to get rid of the ball so fast, it's not going to make any difference. Bill Walsh adjusted. Bill Walsh changed things, and Bill Walsh taught a number of great players. You know, the guy that taught a ton to Bill Walsh, Paul Brown actually has a franchise named after him. That's how good Paul Brown was. Granted, it's the Browns, but that shouldn't be held against him. Paul Brown is actually credited with a number of football innovations. Here's good teaching. Paul Brown was the first coach to use game film to scout opponents. He was the first coach to hire a full-time staff of assistants. He tested players on their knowledge of the playbook. He invented the face mask. He invented having a practice squad or the draw play. And he played a huge role in breaking professional football's color barrier. He brought some of the first African-American players to play pro football in the modern era on his teams. Paul Brown, yeah, he's definitely one of the great teachers, one of the great coaches. Eddie Robinson. Eddie Robinson coached the second most victories in NCAA Division I history and still has the third most overall. From 1985 to 2011, Eddie Robinson held the Division I record for most wins by a college football coach, Little Grambling University. Eddie Robinson could teach. Eddie Robinson could coach. Now, the guy that broke Robinson's record for wins and then lost it later and then kind of got it back, Joe Paterno. Joe Paterno was an excellent teacher. And I know there was the whole scandal thing at Penn State. But Joe Paterno could coach in any era. And you know how I know that? Because I saw Joe Paterno coach in like 15 different eras. So I'm pretty sure he could coach in any era. What about Nick Saban today? You can say, well, Nick Saban's just a recruiter. He's not a coach. He's not a great coach. He's just a great recruiter. Well, he's doing something right. Or else there would be other great recruiters beating him at his own game. That's not happening. And Nick Saban has won at multiple places. He won at Michigan State. He won at LSU. Now he's winning at Alabama. Might it be easier at Alabama? Yeah, probably. But make no mistake, Nick Saban can teach. Nick Saban can coach. And of course, Paul Bear Bryant, also another guy who did it at multiple schools. He won at Maryland. He won at Kentucky. He won at Texas A&M before he won those championships at Alabama. And sure, some of those titles at Alabama are a little sketchy, but hey, there's no question. Bear Bryant was a teacher. Switching over to basketball, a guy like Pete Newell, who led the University of California to an NCAA men's basketball championship back in 1959. He also coached Team USA to a gold medal back in 1960 at the Summer Olympics. And then after his coaching career, Pete Newell was running world famous basketball camps and teaching kids how to play the game the right way. Pete Newell is probably one of the most influential figures in the history of basketball. He was a teacher. Gino Auriemma, a guy who has led UConn to 11 national championships, the most in women's college basketball history. But Gino Auriemma could coach anything. Send him out there for a football game. Wouldn't make any difference. Gino Auriemma could coach anyone at anything. What about someone like Phil Jackson? You know, we now think of Phil Jackson, unfortunately, as the crazy executive for the New York Knicks that ultimately kind of failed, right? But he won 11 NBA titles with the Chicago Bulls and the Los Angeles Lakers. He taught players how to deal with egos. Yes, he coached superstars. I'll admit that. But he did things with his superstars that other coaches weren't getting out of them. Phil must have did something right. What about someone like Red Auerbach? As a coach, he won 9 titles with the Boston Celtics, but I'm telling you right now, if you go look, you're probably not going to find a book of Red Auerbach's X's and O's. He wasn't that guy. He dealt with people. He knew how to get the most out of people. He knew how to get people to reach their potential. Red Auerbach, very, very good at that. Pat Summitt won over 1,000 games, won 8 national titles. And again, Pat Summitt could have coached anyone, anywhere, anytime. Mike Krzyzewski, who has led the Duke Blue Devils to 5 NCAA championships, 12 Final Fours. He also was the coach of the United States men's basketball team that won gold medals in 2008, 2012, and 2016. Hey, Mike Krzyzewski, a phenomenal teacher. He teaches. Our final coach we want to recognize today on National Teacher Day is a guy who won 10 national championships in a 12-year period as head coach at UCLA. Including, he won 7 in a row. No other team has won more than 4 in a row in Division I men's basketball or women's basketball. But under John Wooden, UCLA won 88 consecutive games. Could John Wooden today put together a program that would win 10 national championships in a 12-year period? No, of course not. But make no mistake about this, John Wooden could have been an amazing coach in any era. Why? Because he taught. Because he cared about his kids. See, players don't care how much you know. You can be the smartest guy in the world. Players don't care. They care if you teach them. They care if you make them better. And the people on this list today were amazing at doing just that. They taught and they made their players better. That is the key when you're looking at some of the great coaches. Hey, these coaches aren't in any specific order. These teachers aren't based on any specific preference. I just put together a list of some of the coaches that I think of. When I think of great coaches, when I think of great teachers, I think of some of the people on this list. Pretty amazing coaches and teachers that we have seen in the world of sports. Hey, tomorrow is Wednesday, and we will be taking a look at some of the top sports stories that'll be coming out. And, you know, we will have our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings. You never know what we might be ranking this week, but trust me, you're going to want to make sure that you tune in for it. I have to say thank you so much for listening to the Daily Dose. For all of you that share the show, for all of you that tell your friends, that email us, that text us, that message us, thank you very, very much. It is all very appreciated. Make sure that you don't miss a single episode of the show by just clicking that little subscribe or follow button wherever it is that you listen. We would appreciate that so much. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Tuesday.